Thank God for this wonderful passage in Romans. And it starts off in chapter 12 by saying, in view of the mercies of God. So because God's merciful, because he's our Savior and Lord, he lives his life in us when we receive him. He helps us be able to live in the way that was described here in Romans 12. There's about 22, you might say there's 22 commandments right there in that little passage in Romans 12. How can we live like that, you know? Well, Jesus lives like that, and he lives like that in us. And so he teaches us to be this way in our walk with him. And so I picked out just one phrase instead of 22 points in the sermon, the phrase, be faithful in prayer. The good word that God helps us to be able to do, be faithful in prayer. And the Lord teaches us how to talk with him just like we as adults or parents teach our children how to speak, right? You teach them those first words. You teach them the tone of voice. You teach them hopefully the heart communication that's going on there. That's how children speak and express themselves. They do sound wonderfully, fearfully like their parents in many ways. So be thankful for that, I think. And so, and then you have God being like that for us, telling us about himself in the Bible. And so he teaches us how to speak back to him, as it were. And so be faithful in prayer. And Jesus prays for us. He's faithful. It says in Hebrews 7, he lives and always prays for us. So there's somebody who's always praying for you. Isn't that great? And he's Jesus, talking to the Father on your behalf. Help this one. Encourage this one. Give strength. We're going to give strength to this dear child. Okay? Jesus is always praying for you. And God's Spirit's always praying for you also. If we don't know how to pray, his Spirit intercedes for us. That's what it says in Romans 8. So you have God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always talking to himself about how you are doing and his plans for you that he might help you. Be faithful in prayer. God is faithful to speak on your behalf. And other versions of the Bible put that short phrase this way, continue steadfastly in prayer. I like that. That's New King James. Continue steadfastly in prayer. It's very strong. Living Bible, encouraging, be prayerful always. ESV, be constant in prayer. So your mind's always working, have it work toward God. Don't just express yourself to yourself. You know, that's a lot of limitations there. Express your thoughts to God. He'll think his thoughts through you. He'll speak to you as you speak to him. Message Bible, don't quit in hard times, pray all the harder. That's a little perseverance in there. Stubborn prayer, you might say. Good News Bible. This is the 1971 edition. Only Bible that had drawings in it that were a classic. If you have a copy of that. Pray at all times. In other words, you keep that conversation going. Lloyd Ogilvie, a former chaplain of the U.S. Senate, put this thought, be faithful in prayer, this way. He prayed to God, Lord, may this day be one continuous conversation between you and I. That's a great, how'd your day go? Well, it was kind of rough on the outside, trials on the inside, but it was good to have a continuous conversation with God throughout the day. May this day be a continuous conversation with you. I ask this not just for my peace and security, not just so I feel good and strong and so forth. I'm a strong Christian, I tell you, but for my responsibility to the people around me. Okay, so we pray so that we could actually live to bless other people and to honor God. And so be faithful in prayer, very good direction. Jesus taught about faithfulness in prayer when he said, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. The idea is keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. There's a continuing relationship there. There's a love involved in that. You know, you usually talk a lot to the people you love. And Jesus said, you and I are evil, and we know how to give good gifts to our loved ones, our children. So won't the Father in heaven give us what we need when we ask Him. He'll give us Himself, His Holy Spirit. He's very faithful in His response to us. And then Jesus teaches about faithfulness in two parables about prayer. One, He says, be like the persistent friend wanting bread for another. Somebody comes to your house, they say, I need some food, I'm really hungry, it's late. And you say, I don't have any food, so you go to your neighbor. Can I have some bread for my friend? Bread for the friend, please. I'm ready to go to sleep, go away, please. Bread for the friend, please. And of course he does it. And Jesus said, well, I'll be better than the reluctant friend to give help to you as your heart is toward him. He tells another parable about faithfulness, persistence. Be like the widow who didn't give up asking the judge for justice and help. She kept saying, give me justice against my adversary. The judge, he didn't care. He had no fear of God or man. Who is this who keeps coming and talking to me? Give me justice against my adversary. And Jesus said, well, he's going to do it because of the heart of this dear gal. And Jesus said, God's not like that. His children who cry out to him day and night, won't God answer and do it quickly, he said. He will do it quickly to help us. And so our heart, as we turn to God and say, Lord, you know this need. Wouldn't it be great? Some people say, well, I've been praying 40 years for this, you know. Well, that's good. That's wonderful. You keep trusting God for all that time. In fact, no matter if you're, let's say you're 40, God's been praying for you for 40 years. So how you like that? Okay, his prayer life is stronger than ours. So Jesus encourages faithfulness in prayer. The Apostle Paul joins the prayer chain. He tells us to be constant in prayer in five of his letters, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and here in Romans. He's always putting that in there to these five big churches. And a good example of faithfulness in prayer is in the Old Testament, so many places, but Isaiah 62 in particular, I like. It says this, it says, you who call on the Lord. So you're either praising him or asking for help. You who call on the Lord, give yourself no rest. Don't stop praying. You know, give yourself no rest and give God no rest. That's a strange way. Just keep in touch. Keep leaning on him. Give God no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. So you and I, we keep praying. We're saying, Lord, help. Lord, help your people. Honor yourself in your people, both in the city of Jerusalem, the nation of Israel, but also God's adopted Christian children. Okay, and keep praying. You're like watchmen on the walls. You're saying, Lord, help us all the way to heaven. You get to talk to God all the way to heaven. What a wonderful thing. That passage from Isaiah was taken up by a group called the Moravians in the year 1727. They said, we want to pray all the time. They were just about 300 Christian folk in one little German town. And they were the first group, apparently, to come up with the idea of a prayer clock. A prayer clock where, just out of the small group, they said, we're going to pray as a fellowship 24 hours a day. And they kept at it for 100 years. Wow. 100 years. You know, if you've been a part of a fellowship praying for something for 100 years? I think you have it. God's people praying for his return, praying for missions, praying for lost people to meet him. Faithfulness in prayer. And the leader said, we do this to reach those for whom no one cared. In other words, they were praying so missionaries get sent, so their loved ones would receive Christ, for people who nobody cared about, except maybe God and the people who were praying. And out of that little group of Moravians, for every 60 people, they sent one missionary out. I think they sent a large number over the 100-year period, of course. But That would be like our fellowship sending, well, you send Rachel Wilson, let's say, sending three more people full time. You go to China, go ahead. We got you. You go to Uruguay, we're sending you. You go to the Dominican Republic, we're sending you. And that's all the result of saying, Lord, we seek you. We want to share you with others. See, faithfulness in prayer. It's not just, inactive experience, but it's you talk to God because you and I love God because he loves us first. And don't you love to talk to your loved ones? You know, see, hearing from them for the first time for a while, you know, oh, yeah, so good. I was wondering when you're going to call. So good to hear from you, you know. You don't get on and say, haven't called me in a month. What's wrong with you? That's unlove. You know, you're glad. You're welcome. And so be faithful in prayer. Here's some examples of how we can put it into practice. Just very simply, out of Prayer Magazine, or Pray Magazine, P-R-A-Y, some of you have seen this. Pray. You spend time with praise, then repent, and then ask, and then yield. Surrender your life to God to follow him. All good aspects. It mirrors a lot of ways the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, your name's holy. Forgive me my sins. I forgive others who sin against me. Repentance. Asking daily bread. And may your kingdom come. Yielding. Deliver me. For yours is the glory. But here's how some of the people in the Bible prayed these ways. And also I'm going to use Lloyd Ogilvie, the chaplain, because I thought he has a good prayer life. Wrote a book of prayer back in the 70s. Long time ago. But here's prayers of praise. What are they like? This is my favorite part of prayer. Praise. If I just pray, just thank you, Lord, and Lord, you're great. From now to heaven, I would be happy. But God, you said you have other things too to talk to me about. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. That's Psalm 8. Saying, God, so many good things just by what you made. We could spend eternity just talking about that. And God says, that's right. My fingerprint's all over the place. Excellent is your name in all the earth. And then for the struggling Christian in Romans 7, thanks be to God. Jesus Christ has done it. When Paul said, I'm a Christian, but I still do wrong and I still fail to do right. What am I going to do? Who's going to help me? Thanks be to God. Jesus has helped me. These are prayers of praise to God that you and I can do. Ogilvie had his own little prayers of praise. Lord, I'm stunned by your majesty and greatness. To know you is my greatest blessing. Can you get that heart for God? I like this one. Lord, with you there's no need to impress, defend myself, or hide my thoughts and feelings. The Lord you can love and say, this is, I feel so joyful I can hardly... I don't know what to say, or I'm so broken I don't know what to say. When you go through life and you say, my mind and my emotions are just a turmoil, you could still pray, or you could say, I'm still going to talk to God about these things. I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to repent. And I'm still going to ask and yield. And then Ogilvie says, thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace, undeserved love, forgiveness from the cross. Your promises are true. And, Lord, you will never leave me or forsake me. He's just talking back to God what God told him in the Bible in Hebrews 13. So it's an example of praise. How about an example of repentance? In the Bible, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That was said by a man in the story Jesus told. And then from Psalm 51, Lord, against you have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. This is good for us to pray. So when we repent of our sin or talk to God about our sin, we'll say, forgive me for this mistake, Lord. This is a slip up. I'm only human. And we say, I've done evil in your sight. This is wrong before God. And I come to ask you, dear Jesus, to make it right and help me make it right in repentance. So repentance is a good thing. You and I will be doing it until we get to heaven. This is an interesting way to repent. Lord, loosen my tight grip on everything and everyone. We want to be God. Forgive me for separating sacred and secular. One life under one Lord. Every person, experience, and responsibility is sacred to you. That's an exciting life right there. And when we repent, I heard the example yesterday. If you heard it, then you'll relive it again. About the repentant son in Luke 15, when he comes home after being in the pig pen. You know, he's repenting. He's rehearsing what he's going to say to the father. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. He's going to say that. And so he comes back to the father. The father runs and meets him. And the father says to him, you filthy sinner, you're going to go to hell unless you straighten your life out. Right? No. Might be what you and I say. But the father, he says, what? Let's get the robe. Let's get the ring. Let's get ready to eat. This son, he's lost and now he's found. And that's God waiting in our repenting opportunity. You know, we'll hear those words in our soul when we say, I'm living like I'm going to hell. I'm going back to the Father. And then we ask, P-R-A, for asking. Some examples of this. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And from Psalm 86, Lord, won't you revive us again that your people may put our hope in you? Lord, family life, make right. You could do this. And my prayer life, make right. My work life, revive that. My thought life, whatever their struggle is. Homework life. And then Jesus, have mercy on me. This was the shouted prayer. I like this because it's a little bit of intensity in it. The blind man. Jesus is passing by. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Shh. Quiet. You know. He gets louder. He shouts all the more. But we can pray like that. And Jesus stops, of course, helps the man. Example of being faithful in prayer. And then yielding to God, so important. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I like Ogilvie's take on this. He just brings the scripture into his conversation with God. And yielding is so important. That's saying, Lord, I'm ready to get to work with you. I'm going to co-labor with you, walk in the works you prepared in advance for me to do. Lord, I commit this day to loving you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to loving the people around me as I love myself. I dedicate this day to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. Then an old prayer, Jesus, be yourself in me today. Who knows what God will do as you yield to him. As you yield, you say, you go first, Lord. You go, you lead and I'll follow. You say it and I'll ask for your help to do this with you. And because, you know, that whole prayer time is because you know God loves you. So you love him back by talking with him all the way to heaven. And so by the grace of God, as his dear child, be continuously steadfast in prayer. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for the gift of prayer. You initiated it. You pray more than we do. And you're faithful to be watching out for us. So help us watch out for others in prayer. Help us keep guard on our own soul, or at least yield it to you again in our prayer life. As a dear brother said, you created us to glorify yourself and enjoy you every day. And so thank you that whatever troubling our soul, nothing's too small or big for you. We help us ask for your help that we were, somebody said, pray to God each day as if that day were your last day. How would we love you? How would we love those around you? It's wanting to be just faithful in the moment. So bless each one, Lord. Thank you for your love for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.